Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashanthi Nilayam, giving you a live broadcast every Thursday in the Asia stream of Radio Sai. As the proceedings in the Sai Kulwant Hall have ended just now, and as the devotees are silently lined up to have a close glimpse of our dear Lord, it's now time for us to go to the first segment of the evening session of this Thursday live. And this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh, and along with me is Brother Bhargav.
Sairam Ganesh.
To invite you all to yet another new episode of the recently started program, the Veda Jignasa. So, Bhargav.
Yes, Ganesh.
So, at the outset, we shall collectively offer, along with our listeners all over the world, and offer our pranams to Swami's lotus feet. And we shall start every session from today onwards, as per the request of the listeners, with Ganapati Prarthana Mantram.
Okay.
Om Gananantva Ganapati Gumhavamahe Kavim Kavinamupamashravastamam Cheshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvannoti Vissidasadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vaje Virvajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
So Ganesh, what is it next we have to do? I think we have covered till Rutam Vachmi. We have to start from there, I think. So before getting into this, I had a small discussion with few of our brothers. It was a very important aspect they had raised, and we had a discussion on this, that you take an example now, whatever we had done till now, about the first paragraph of Atharvashirsham.
Namaste Ganapataye.
Namaste Ganapataye. Tvameva Pratyaksham Tattvamasi. Tvameva Kevalam Kartasi. Dhartasi, Hartasi. Means it says that Ganesha is the one who creates, the one who sustains, and one who annihilates. Then that is a very relevant and very pertinent query. If you actually go to Suryopanishad, there he says, Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi, Tvameva Pratyaksham Vishnurasi, Tvameva Pratyaksham Rudrosi.
Means, so you are Rudra. You are Vishnu.
That means sun god.
Sun god.
Sun god. You are the Brahma creator. You are the sustainer, the Vishnu. And you are the destroyer, the Rudra. And then you come to Narayana Upanishad. There it says that Narayana himself is Brahma. Narayana himself is Rudra. He himself is Chakra. That is the Indra, the god Indra. So there's so much of confusion according to our discussion that... you say Ganesha is ultimate, he is everything. Then you go to sun god, you say sun god also is ultimate. Then I'm very sure in Rudram when you say Bhavayacha Rudrayacha, you are the one who creates, you are the one who destroys. So what does this mean? You have so many gods and everyone is ultimate. Is there a competition between them? Who's going to be the ultimate actually in all this? So much of... if you see on the face of it, superficially, it sounds very confusing. So,
but Swami beautifully tells that it is always good for us to see the underlying principle of unity that is driving the entire universe, where we see a lot of diversity.
Yeah.
So, Swami tells that the one, the indivisible one, has divided itself in the form of many.
Yeah.
So that each one of us, according to our capacities, can worship him.
Yes.
So, ekam sat viprah bahudha vadanti.
Swami always quotes this, yes. So, basically it means that there is only one truth, but...
which has manifested itself in myriad forms.
Or the wise men, the people of wisdom, they perceive it in different ways and give different paths. So, vipra means the one who is a scholar or who was a realized person. So, yeah, this is a very interesting insight that actually whatever path you choose, it will take you to the ultimate.
And Swami also gives one more additional point to this, that yes, if you take Rama, if you take Shiva, if you take Allah, Yesu, see the two-letter words which have so much of potency in them, it has the ability to redeem each and every person on this planet Earth. But each one has to have the faith and the determination and the devotion to get attached to that.
Okay.
Means you should not, Swami keeps on telling that you should not jump from here to there, here to there, here to there. Hold on to one single form, one single name, and constantly get engrossed in that form.
Okay, contemplate on the form.
Contemplate on the
Swami
form and name.
Swami gives a beautiful example of if you want to get water, don't dig at different places. Dig in the same place, might be you go deeper into one place so that you'll get water, rather than digging at different places and going nowhere. Yeah, it's a very interesting insight again. So, I thought we'll just start with this because this was a very interesting type of a question which we had. So, if you go next, I think this is something which is very, something is an enigma for so many of us that we say, Next line, Rutam
Vachmi Satyam Vachmi.
So, my question to you next is, what is the difference between Rutam and Satyam? Has Swami told something about it?
Actually, we should directly go and take it from the discourse that has been given by Swami. Because some of us may be in the confusion that which is greater? Is Rutam great or is Satyam great or are both same? So, in one of the discourses, Swami is telling that the Vedas speak about the principle of Ritam. It symbolizes the truth that is changeless. All the worldly objects undergo change. So, when you develop Ritam, you will be able to understand the changeless and eternal divinity.
So, it sounds that Ritam is really the ultimate. So, still if you like, I think we can...
Just before starting, we were discussing about the Ekam Sat Vipra Bahudha Vadanti. Maybe the eternal principle that has been expressed in different forms is the Rutam.
Okay.
And what we see as the one principle manifesting into different forms...
That might be Satyam.
That might be the Satyam.
Okay. So just go to the next. I think we just picked up a few of these discourses and few of excerpts from the discourses of Swami. And one more very interesting one which we found was, we just quote, in Vedantic parlance, Ritam and Satyam have been used as synonyms. However, there is a difference between the two. Satyam means putting your words into action and factually reporting in words what you have done. Ritam, on the other hand, has a wider connotation, namely purity, harmony and unity of the Trikaranas, thought, word and deed. We may also say that Satyam is concerned more with the external world, I think the way you told, while Ritam relates more to the internal world of mind and its modifications. Satyam is said to transcend time, past, present and future, while Atma transcends time and space both. So actually what you told makes a lot of sense. But if you just go to the next, there's one more statement which Swami had given, which was that
you would have seen many pictures of divine personalities like Rama and Krishna. They are depicted only in the form of human beings. But man today has forgotten the innate divinity in humanity. He is in search of God, thinking that he is at a higher level. That is why he is unable to realize the truth. Ekam Sat.
Sat.
The Vedas describe this as Ritam.
So in this, it sounds that that Sat is nothing but the Ritam.
So here, both are like merging.
Yeah. Like if you actually see Brahmananda Valli, there's a verse which comes when you describe the different sheets of existence. The starts with prana, annamaya means the sheath of food, then go to prana, then go to the manas, that is the mind, and then finally the next one, the penultimate one is the vijnanamaya kosham. So there it says that if you consider this whole being of vijnanamaya as a bird, you have the rutam as the right wing and satyam as the left wing. So like for a bird to fly, both the wings are important.
So it is told that rutam dakshina pakshaha, satyam uttara pakshaha.
So actually both are important. So probably at some point of time both of them meet and merge into one another. Like that's what we understand. But the whole exercise of explaining this and might be going into little detail of Rutam and Satyam was because we wanted to know what is the meaning of the mantra which we are telling. We say Rutam Vachmi Satyam
Vachmi.
Means it's actually the meaning of that is that whatever I have told till now is the truth. Whatever I told till now is the Rutam. So what if you just see whatever we have we had covered in last week, it says that Ganesha is ultimate.
Mm.
Ganesha is everything. Mm. Ganesha is the one who's the one who pervades everything.
Tvameva kevalam kartasi, tvameva kevalam hartasi.
Tvameva kevalam hartasi,
tvameva sarvam khalvidam brahmasi.
So, what
and the
understand?
Last one, tvam sakshat atmasi nityam.
Hmm. So, I think it is that one which is changeless,
hmm.
which is the eternal one, hmm. that might be which we can find within ourselves.
Hmm.
And it is also the one which is manifested in this world as many forms.
Many
as you
forms.
Told.
Hmm.
So, basically, the Ruttam and Satyam are exactly the way we thought that
hmm.
whatever Ganesha was described just before that, the previous stanza,
hmm.
that you are the ultimate Tattvamasi, you are the one who's the Atma which is pervading everything.
Mm.
And not only that, you are the one who has created this external world, sustaining it and annihilating it also.
Mm.
So means, once you reach this stage, I think you understand that Ganesha, you are everything.
Mm.
So let's proceed after that. After that, what we have is Ava Tvammam. So here, Ava actually means protection.
Protection. Mm.
So when you say Tva means you,
mm.
Mam means me.
Mm.
So, I don't know, if you say protect me, so protect me can be, what it can be?
In any ways, it can be protection.
Mm.
But as we go further, Ava Vaktaram, so means the one who speaks.
Speaks.
Okay. What, one who speaks what
yes.
is the next doubt that we are going to get.
Yeah.
So he tells that in this, it is tells that the Atharva Shirsham what we are chanting.
Mm.
One who chants this Atharva Shirsham,
hmm.
may he be protected.
Protected, okay.
Then when we go to the next level, Ava Srotaram. So one who is listening
to this
also may be protected. Maybe one beautiful aspect where we can correlate this is, as we are telling now, at the outset when we offer our obeisance to Swami, telling that Swami, you should be the one who speaks through us. And the same way it happens on the other side also. Maybe every listener is in the form of every listener. Swami is listening. Mm. And if we have that feeling,
mm.
the purpose of our telling and their listening is fulfilled.
Fulfilled, yeah. It's sanctified. I think there's an experience, beautiful experience about this in 1988.
1988-90. This batch of MBA students,
mm.
once they were in the interview room with Swami,
mm.
and I think, I don't remember the number of students, Swami created an entire bunch of photographs for the MBA batch.
Mm.
And very, very interestingly, there are two Swamis in the picture.
Okay.
One which was speaking,
mm.
one Swami speaking, and other Swami listening to what the other Swami is telling.
Mm.
Then Swami told, after a few days, when you follow what I tell you, one of the Swamis will become you.
In the photo.
In the photo. That individually depends on the sadhana that, and one of the brothers who was narrating this experience told, till now I have not reached that level.
So my photo has not come in front of Swami's photo. So actually, if you actually see this particular verse which we are now chanting,
mm.
it actually means that only. Like you, when I speak, you protect me, is actually not protection from the external influences all only, I feel. It's protection from all aspects so that
mm.
I reach that stage where I become one with you.
Mm.
So, like it's very, might be at different levels of existence. When you contemplate on this, it finally reaches us that mm. stage of existence where you say, I become one with you.
Mm. Because Swami tells, meditation is a process is such that the dhyana is nothing but the meditator and the meditation becomes one and the...
And the process of meditation.
Process of meditation. Everything merges and
one.
Becomes the same.
Yes, yes, correct. So, just go to the next. Then it says, Ava Dataram. Mm. Dataram is actually, Data is something who gives.
Mm.
So, here, what is the meaning of one who gives? Is it someone who gives the Vedic knowledge or the mantras?
To this specifically, it has been told that one who gives this Atharva Shirsham,
mm.
he is being protected.
Okay.
and Dhataram, the supporter, one who helps maintain and supports this particular holy activity
to happen,
is also being protected.
Means someone who, like Swami says, Veda Poshana, someone who helps in propagating Vedas and protects it and supports the activity, he also be protected. So beautiful actually. Then next comes
Avanucha Namavasishyam.
So here again, Anuchana is, means a teacher.
Anuchanam.
Anuchanam. Anuchanam is a teacher and Shishyam is a disciple. So the one who is actually learning this together, the disciple and the teacher, let them also be protected. So it's so beautiful. And then it goes into the different directions, I think, after this.
Avapaschataat, avapurastaat, avottarataat, avadakshinataat, avachordhvataat, avadharataat, sarvato maam pahi pahi samantat.
So actually, if you when you talk about the directions, one thing which comes to my mind is our Swami's Chidur Mandir. If you actually have noticed, around it, if you notice, there are eight.
The Ashtadikpalakas are there.
So means they are the ones who protect the eight directions. So eight are these directions, and then you have one direction which is the one which
Urdhvam.
Faces up, Urdhvam, and one which is faces down, the Adham. So all these directions, whatever comes or whatever happens to me, let Lord Ganesha protect me. So this doesn't mean only protection from outside. I feel it should be a protection from inside also. There will be the inner enemies which we have, the inner agitations which we have. Protection from that also should be part of this, I feel.
And automatically it will be we will be protected, because when we connote this to what Swami tells, everything that Swami speaks, when we tell that as Vedam, whatever comes out of Swami's mouth is Vedam.
Yes.
But then Swami tells, God is above you, in you, around you, below you. Everywhere God pervades. And why will not He protect?
Correct.
When He is everywhere.
Yes.
Even in the Bhagavatam, the Padyam goes like, Indugala Danduledani Sandeham Valadu Chekri Sarvopagatundu Yendendu Chuchina Andande Galadu. Means like, when Hiranyakashipu asks Prahlada, where is your Lord Narayana? Show me. Means in order to protect his devotee, Lord Narayana manifests himself everywhere so that the word of the devotee does not go in vain. And when Hiranyakashipu shows the pillar, Prahlada so confidently tells that yes, he is here.
Yes.
And then when he breaks open, Lord Narasimha comes out.
Yes.
So that is the maybe we can connote this to
correct that. Yes, that you can protect us from all directions means everywhere. He's everywhere. His where is not there. So just moving ahead. Tvam vang mayas tvam chin mayaha. So this is again, he is the master of the speech and the verbal expressions. So anything which we speak, anything which we express in our words. So he is the one who is there in all these aspects, and he is the one who is Chinmaya, the Chinmaya Swarupam. Swami says, someone who is the complete awareness. So actually when you say this, you, one thing which comes to my mind, Swami always says, you should always speak truth and you should always speak obligingly and should not talk too much. Keep, conserve your energy when you, without unnecessary doing loose talk. So I think this gives a lot of importance when you say that, Ganesha, you're my walk. You're the one who is actually speaking through me. We should be very careful when
what comes out of your
mouth. That's very important.
And the Swami also tells that Satyam Bruyat, Priyam Bruyat, Na Bruyat, Satyam Apriyam. And you should tell the truth in such a way that it is palatable.
Yes.
So, and so many aspects are covered in this one single line. And then, Tvamanandamayastvam Brahmamayaha. So the you, the full of immortal happiness or supreme happiness, Brahmamayaha, full of Brahman, that is supreme consciousness.
Yes.
Tvam Satchidanandadvitiyosi.
So you are the one who is the ultimate bliss, and you are the one who is without the second, Advaita.
Advaita.
And just taking a small deviation, coming back to the Vangmaya thing, which we had just discussed, once in Sandeha Nivarani, Swami has given a beautiful verse about what you should not do with your vak, with your speech, because it's very pertinent in our present times. Swami talks about four types of wrongs which we do with our tongue. One is speaking falsehood. Second is speaking ill of others. Third is backbiting. And fourth is talking too much. So, and he says, be always on the alert against the four sins which the tongue is prone to commit. So, when we talk that you are the one who is the swarupa of this speech, so we should be very careful of not doing these four. Because Swami himself has told, because this is a book called Sandeha Nivarani, where the devotee asks, what should I do? What should I do to become closer to you? And Swami gives lot of guidelines, lot of things he explains what you should do, what you should not do. In that, one of the very important things which is these four speaking. You should not speak falsehood. You should not speak ill of others. You should not have backbiting. And you should not talk too much. So just, we'll go ahead after this.
Tvam Satchidanandadvitiyosi, Tvam Pratyaksham Brahmasi.
So you are the one who is actually the Brahman himself. You are the ultimate Brahman. You are everything. And then you say,
Tvam Jnanamayo Vijnanamayosi.
Here actually Swami gives a very beautiful small interpretation, that Swami says, wherever science ends, spirituality starts. So, Swami doesn't say science is not good, but science is something which is more to do with the mundane level, and spirituality is adhyatmika, something which to do with the spiritual level. And then here it says, Tvam jnanamayo vijnanamayosi, means the spiritual knowledge
as well as the
scientific and the worldly knowledge. Both are you only. So, I think even if you want worldly success, you say, why should I get into spirituality? Why should I pray to God? Because I don't want anything about, I don't want to get into any spiritual line or a spiritual life. But actually this shows very clearly that even if you need success in your worldly life also, you need the grace of Lord.
Actually, when we go through the history, lot of scientists who have achieved great success have always come and realized the fact that there is a higher principle that drives the entire universe, that drives this entire cosmos. And it has been repeatedly been told to us, like Einstein, Schrodinger, all the top scientists.
But when you told, I just remembered one scientist who was supposed to be the one who had changed the way of thinking, the quantum physics, Werner Heisenberg. He is the one who had given this uncertainty principle. That, I don't know if you know that, you know, you're a physics student, you'll definitely know this, Ganesh. So, the principle goes that you cannot determine the position and the velocity or the momentum of a particle at the same time. So, at one place I was reading, it's so beautiful that, it actually indicates to what Shankaracharya says, that is it a rope or is it a snake? You cannot determine it. Till you get the knowledge that you get out of the ignorance, then only you'll know this.
It is called the Ruju Sarpa Bhranti.
And when actually you go into the little depth of Heisenberg's life, it seems when he was deeply contemplating on these aspects, he had got into a state where called total abstraction. His mind was totally blank. He went into a sort of a silence. He never understood what it means. Then, in the later life, he had got exposed to the Indian philosophy, Indian Upanishadic thought and Advaitic thought. Then he realized that he had gone into the state of that samadhi, that abstraction, where he understood that everything is one. And then he understood that what principle which he gave is very close to our Advaitic principle of, that's what you just now told.
That Ruju Sarpa Bhranti.
And then he had actually mentioned to one of his disciple, like one of his junior scientists, about the experience in his later life when he was very old. He had mentioned about this. So, you talk about the Vijnanam or the Jnanam. It has to be the grace of Lord. I don't know. And you told us, I remember one more experience of Srinivasa Ramanujam.
This is very beautiful, yes.
He says that, like you know, he is one of the, supposed to be the greatest mathematicians of 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems the formulas which he had given, even as recent as in 2000, early 2000, people were able to get the derivation and understanding of it now. So that was the level of genius which he had. But if you ask him, he says, it's not my genius. It is the Namagiri Amma. He was from a town, I don't remember the name of the town, where he had a temple of Narasimha and Mother Lakshmi. And he says that all these formulas which used to come to me, Mother used to just write it and show me in my dreams. And I just used to go and copy it and I just used to record them. So that's why when he goes to the Western countries, he was not able to explain why it came. He told, no, Mother wrote, that's why I got it. And they were so profound and so full of deeper meaning that people not able to understand. They were aghast seeing the genius of him. But he says, it's not me. It is Mother who comes and writes for me. So, Jnana and Vijnana, both, it is only God.
Means, as Swami beautifully tells, when you become as hollow as a flute,
yeah,
automatically God works through you.
Works through, yeah.
So, whatever comes through you will automatically become divine.
Yes.
Yeah. And that will become the best.
Yes, that's correct. Like here, that one beautiful analogy which Swami gives is that if you climb a coconut tree, your shadow also climbs a tree. So, you don't need to
climb the shadow.
Shadow.
So, next we'll go to Sarvam Jagaridam Tvatto Jayate Sarvam Jagaridam Tvattas Tishthati Sarvam Jagaridam Tvairayameshyati Sarvam Jagaridam Tvayiprathyeti Tvam Bhumirapo Nalo Nilo Nabhaha Tvam Chatvariva Akpadani.
So in this, again, it always, again, emphasizes the same point that everything comes out, everything is created from you, everything is sustained by you, and everything merges back into you. So I if you know, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we had discussed once before, there is a beautiful analogy of the spider, which, like, in only Upanishads, we find such beautiful knowledge, such pearls of wisdom. It says that the best way to explain the universe, the creation of the universe and destruction and annihilation of it, is with the simile of a spider. It seems a spider creates the web out of its own body, and after a particular period of time, it just merges it back into it. So it's so beautiful to understand that the same way our creation and destruction and annihilation is done, creation, sustenance and annihilation is done by the Lord, and here the Lord for us is Ganesha.
Ganesha. So then, when we come to that Chatvariva Akpadani,
we had discussed once before that there are four types of vak which all of us are not actually aware. One, we call it as the Vaikari, that is one which we are speaking. And then there are three more levels, Madhyama, Pashyanti,
and Para.
And what we see is the one which is manifest is Vaikari, which we can hear. But there are other three levels which are not manifest. And if you just take a simile, take a parallel, in Purusha Suktam, a word, a place it comes, Padosya Vishwa Bhutani Tripadasya Amritam Divi, means the one which is manifest is only one pada.
One pada.
What we see around us is only one pada. Three padas, three quarters is not
unseen.
So, in the same way, the para, pashyanti and madhyama are not seen. But they are the one who actually make the vaikari happen. So, first, the mother goddess or the para actually inspires both of us. Yes, go and do something. Then I say, okay, I am Bhargav and I am Ganesh. Let us go and do the program. And then thoughts come.
So, but what is doing the program is not seen.
It's not seen, yes. Nothing is seen. Even I am Ganesh is not seen. Swami says the ego is not seen. It's only an illusory thing. Then comes the thoughts which are not seen again. Thoughts are just something which happen in the mind. But something which we perceive with our senses is what we are speaking. So, Ganesha is the one who is the master of all the four.
Yes.
So, if you want to reach the para, you need to go and worship Ganesha.
Worship
and
Ganesha.
Actually, this is one aspect of it. If you go to the now speaking aspect, I think listening aspect is also there. Now all the listeners, if we speak in Chinese, I think it will, nothing will happen. It will be noise.
Mm.
So Vaikri will be making sense to them if they understand.
Understand.
What it is. So once they understand, they'll say, okay, they'll try to say, okay, these people are they knowledgeable or are they just bluffing? Let's see. So then they'll try to understand, okay, they get some thoughts, some sense they have, not fully, but like probably some
somewhat
sense,
okay.
Somewhat okay. Mm. And then that might be the Madhyama. Mm. Then Vaikri is okay. Every listener says, yes, I understood this aspect or I didn't understand this aspect. Finally, the whole understanding happens when it goes and merges back into the para, the silence. So let's see whether how much has been understood
so,
by them.
So maybe when we stop, people will start understanding much better. So I think the time is 6:50 and it's now time for us to stop here.
Yeah.
But before we conclude the program, as per the request of the listeners,
yeah,
we shall conclude with Kshama Prarthana Mantra.
Because we will definitely need it.
Yes. Om Yadakshara Pada Bhrashtam Matra Heenam Tuyad Bhavet Tat Sarvam Kshamyatam Deva Narayana Namostute Visarga Bindu Matrani Pada Pada Aksharani Cha Nyunani Cha Tiriktani Kshamasvasayishvara Aparadha Sahasrani Kriyante Harnishanmaya Dasoyam Mitimamatva Kshamasvasayishvara Anyadha Sharanam Nasti Tameva Sharanam Mama Tasmat Karunya Bhava Vena Rakshasaishvara Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Saishvara Arpanamastu. So with this we come to an end to this week's Radio Sai Veda Jignasa program, and it's now time for us to go to the next segment, that is the Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom hosted by Brother Pishu. So meet you next week same time. Until then, Bhargav and myself take leave from you, and please do not forget to write to us your ideas, your feedback and your valuable insights into this beautiful mantram Ganapati Adarvasisham. Please do write to listener@radiosai.org or please do WhatsApp to 9393258258. Sai Ram and happy listening. Before we conclude, once more we offer our humble pranams at Bhagawan's lotus feet. Sai Ram.